This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Dartmouth men's basketball team votes to unionize.
Excuse me?
What does that mean for college sports? Have more on that topic coming up. Also, Travis Kelce talks about nearly becoming a Dallas Cowboy when he was coming out of college. And current Cowboy quarterback Dak Prescott talks about the Cowboys culture. All of that coming up. NFL franchise tag day. Running backs hit the free agent market. And free agent market is going to hit back. The situation here with some marquee running backs. The question is, can you get like a two-year deal? Can you get a two-year $20 million deal? Those $15 million a year contracts, they are dinosaurs now. Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, they're not going to approach those numbers ever again, or at least in our lifetime, it feels like, devaluing the running back. Paulie did suggest, what if we gave running backs three-year deals? Here's the tricky part with that. Let's say you're Deebo Samuel. You want to be a running back all of a sudden, not a wide receiver if it's 3 years when you come out of college. If you go to the draft, you have to declare what position you're going to play in the NFL. Do you have to have a certain number of touches at the running back position to be labeled a running back? I know that we want to get running backs paid. We still want to value that position, but these owners don't care. It's all interchangeable. Everybody, interchangeable. I said at the time with Zeke Elliott, after whatever, 4 years, then they were going to extend him, I said, move on. You crazy? You got everything you wanted. Move on. Be disciplined. Have a process here. Yes, Eaton.
Yeah, the three-year thing is fun, but it's like, why?
Well,
why? Then we might as well be like, hey, well then, why don't you just pay them more? Why?
No, you're not paying more. You're just shifting the salary to a different position. The other is, I think the blowback could be the other players, the other positions. Like, oh, that's going to take money out of our pot. It wouldn't affect how much money the owners paid because the salary cap is the salary cap. But it would put the running backs, and the NFLPA is in the position of keeping people employed. And this would help them be employed longer, get to a second contract faster. It's a unique position in that it could be looked at differently. It probably won't.
How is it not taking money away from somebody else?
It's taking away from other players, but not the owners. The owners don't have to pay more. They just have to pay running backs earlier that they don't necessarily want to do.
Okay, why would NFL Players Association side with one position?
That's the tough part. That would be, you'd have to get the rank and file. You always see people tweeting, get Saquon Barkley paid. You know, it's the wide receiver.
Oh,
says,
no, we all say that.
Say that.
But then when it comes down to, hey, would you take less? Yeah. Quarterbacks will do this. I don't know if other position guys are going to go, you know, so I'm CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to take less money so we can bring in Saquon Barkley.
It's an uphill battle with something like this, but this would, I can't think of another solution.
I don't think there is a solution. I think it's just that's the position. It's the way the game is being played. Now, we see this with a lot of sports. that position used to mean something, like a low post big man in the NBA. You're not going to get paid now by being a low post big man, but, you know, 20 years ago, you were. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, and we're in over 400 cities in America carrying this program. I mentioned this story that the Dartmouth men's basketball team has voted to unionize, and we always try to push a story forward, like, what's it mean? Like, what's the real fallout that this could mean for sports? And not necessarily football and basketball, but maybe the, smaller sports, the ones that don't produce revenue here. Ross Dellinger does a great job covering college sports, certainly college football, Yahoo Sports senior writer. All right, help me understand, help the audience understand, what does this mean that Dartmouth is trying to unionize or going to try to unionize? What's it mean for college sports?
Yes, everybody wants to know, right? How does this impact all other college programs? Dan, it could be a while till we know. Right now there's an appeal from Dartmouth. It's an appeals process to the National Labor Relations Board National Office in Washington, D.C. And if the appeal is upheld there, it'll probably be further appealed to federal courts. And then from there, Dan, could go to the Supreme Court. So it could be a while before we have some finality. In the meantime, the fact that a local NLRB region office deemed Dartmouth men's basketball players employees is somewhat historic and could have ramifications in the way that other players at other programs, certainly programs that make more money, right, than the Dartmouth men's basketball team, which loses hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, those players could see what Dartmouth did, right, and they could do it themselves, right? They could get together themselves and unionize collectively. So that is certainly maybe in the immediate what we could see is more movement in college programs like this. But as far as some kind of like national edict of players or employees, it could be a while until we see that from the courts.
Because this is going to be pushed further and further and further, further away. Like Maurice Claret was trying to come out. And by the time that was going to be heard, he was going to already be in the NFL. Northwestern, when they tried to unionize. So I don't know if Dartmouth is saying, look, this isn't going to affect us, but it could affect generations of college athletics, college athletes here. And what do you get if you would happen to be unionized in college athletics?
Well, you'd get collective bargaining, right? So as a union, as a group of players, you would be able to bargain with your school, the employer, potentially, according to the ruling at the Boston NLRB office. So you could collectively bargain. And a lot of stakeholders, Dan, in college athletics, whether it be coaches even, administrators, maybe even some commissioners, have come out publicly saying that the fix to all of this, right, all of a problem that college football and basketball specifically are having, the money issue, is to collectively bargain with some kind of players association. And that's what we're heading around down, right? It's a path toward a school or a conference or even a national organization like the NCAA bargaining compensation in terms and benefits with a group of athletes. College football and basketball to an extent, but especially major college football, has become such a big moneymaker that we're in this position where you're gonna start having unions or players associations for players to get direct compensation. And I think a lot of people, even when in, like I said, college athletics, thinks that's kind of the answer.
Okay, but this is Dartmouth. I don't believe they give scholarships. Like I'm just curious that it's Dartmouth. It's a private school. It's Ivy League. It's not revenue producing. Why Dartmouth?
Yeah, great question. And it's interesting because the appeal from Dartmouth, I was reading through the documents of the appeal. And one of the things they argue is of all the places that you would choose to make employees, you choose us. You know, obviously the players got together and did this there, but they are probably not a great example of a athletic department and a team that should be deemed employees, right? They lose hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe upwards of $1 million every year, the men's basketball team there does, just like a lot of men's basketball teams, especially in the Ivy League. They don't offer scholarships, like you said. In their appeal, at least, they say that there are no real extra benefits. There are no academic type of concessions made for the enrollment of basketball players. So why us is kind of what they argued in the appeal. And they certainly have a point, right? You can point to the Michigan football team, the Duke basketball team, right? And say, why aren't those groups named employees? Why would you deem our group employees? We don't check off a lot of the employment boxes. But what the Dartmouth men's basketball team and the union argued is that Dartmouth athletic department and coaches have, quote, control over the men's basketball team and the athletes. They set the schedules. They penalize players for not showing up. They demand you be at practice. That's kind of what they use. But, Dan, to back to your point, if the Dartmouth men's basketball team was deemed employees, as they were and as they might by the national board and the courts, then every college team in the country probably could be deemed employees.
Well, then if you're an employee, now I'm going to make sure that you put basketball ahead of academics, because that's going to be important for me. Like, you're not a student, you know, you're an employee, and you're employed because you're a good basketball player. So I don't know that there's a lot to work out here. A lot of gray area.
It is. It's really complex. It's a complicated issue. It's challenging kind of to get your mind around it. But I think the gist is college athletics as, quote, amateurs right now, even though we all know right through NIL, they're getting a decent amount of money, especially at the highest level from booster collectives. But in the way, they're still considered amateur athletes, and they're getting quite a bit of benefits because of that, whether that's the training table, the dining hall, you name it, you know, for private flights to games, things like that. They are getting a lot of benefits. And you wonder, Dan, when they all are, quote, employees, if when that does happen, those benefits, how many of them will go away? And then you start talking about, as you mentioned off the top, the Olympic sports. What happens to the Olympic sports programs at these schools that don't make revenue, a lot of revenue, and certainly don't turn a profit at all, kind of like Dartmouth men's basketball? How does Dartmouth, right, how do they pay athletes on a team that loses whatever $500,000, $800,000 a year? Where do they come up with the funds to do it? A lot of administrators are asking the same thing when it comes to the Olympic sports at these power programs that rely on football profit and men's basketball profit to subsidize them. So that's certainly a key issue. The one thing athlete advocates will say, right, is, well, you can cut the coach's salary, football coach and basketball coach's salaries, and then you can pay your Olympic sports.
Good to talk to you, Ross. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports senior writer covering college football. It's vague. It's confusing. It's the Ivy League. I don't know what the fallout's going to be. I think we're going to eventually get to revenue sharing. Are we going to look at athletes as employees? How can I revenue share if you're a baseball player? Are you going to want minimum wage? Is your scholarship going to be taxable? Like, there just seems to be a lot here where I go, this is going to be kicked down the road. It's a can being kicked down the road as far as you can. Northwestern was 10 years ago they tried to do this. I mean, that's why these universities have lawyers to go, all right, how do we just kick this down the road and that doesn't see the light of day? A couple of phone calls in here. Doug in North Carolina. Doug, as always, thank you for holding. What's on your mind today?
Well, Dan, I wanted to talk about your show opens today. You did a lot of talk about Russell Wilson yesterday. And my question for you is, if you had to bet which one of these aging three quarterbacks wins a second Super Bowl, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Matthew Stafford, who do you put your money on?
So Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, those are. If I were to tell you that one of those three would win another Super Bowl, a second Super Bowl, who do you like?
Oh boy, Stafford 37, Paulie
36. Going to be 37 when this upcoming season. Yep.
All right.
I think Russell is
35.
Checking my birthday cards, I sent him. He's 35.
Okay. I'm going to say Russ.
Aaron Rodgers does not believe in age, by the way.
Just of course he does. He's defying age. I'm going to say Russ because he'll have maybe more opportunities, more seasons. Aaron Rodgers, still the Jets. Stafford, I don't know how long he... I mean, they improved greatly and were a pleasant surprise. I guess I would say Russ. If he ends up with, like, Pittsburgh, all right, you're going to, you know, you're going to have a winning record. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record. And although you're playing in a tough division, you're playing in the AFC. Yeah, I guess, Russ. Angelo in Minnesota. Angelo, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
All right, so glad you had the previous guest that you had on, because I have the opposite argument, which is the NIL starts a college flag football league. It grows the game by having a men's and women's division. Running backs will probably opt to do that, so they're contact-free but still getting the necessary training for the NFL. And suck it, my former state, Alaska, specifically Trevor. Thank you.
All righty, that's Angelo. A little shot at Trevor in Alaska, whoever that is. Yeah, I don't think they're going to play flag football. Darren in Omaha. Hey, Darren.
I wanted to drive home your point the first hour of your show, Dan, about if people would change it up, kind of like Bill Parcells did back in 91. He shortened the game, didn't yep. give Jim Kelly and Buffalo very much time on offense, so he just ran the ball. I think if me being a long-suffering Cowboys fan, if the Cowboys would really go to that philosophy, they'd have a shot, because they got beat by Green Bay running the ball. They couldn't stop it. If they would focus on that with that offensive line and get just two good running backs, because I've always thought there's maybe five quarterbacks in the league every year that could be a pass-happy philosophy and they'd get away with it. But above that, Dak Prescott's about the 15th best. If he's pass-happy, that's why Cowboys don't do well against good teams, because you just can't throw it that many times without making mistakes, and they'd be better off. And old linemen, I've always heard that they much would rather run block instead of having to protect the quarterback all the time and those strong defensive ends. So I think you have something there and wish more people would do it.
All right. Thank you, Darren. Yeah, not every quarterback is meant to throw it 30 times, but the game, it's almost like not everybody's meant to swing for home runs. Not everybody is meant to shoot threes. But that's the template. That's the philosophy. Everybody's doing it. We have to do it. And I still believe if I had a great offensive line and we dominated a smaller but quicker defensive line and we got running backs who are, you know, maybe have a couple running backs. Can you take Michigan's model? Is Jim Harbaugh going to take Michigan's model, which is the same model he had at Stanford? We're going to run the football. We're going to overpower you. Is that what he's going to try to do with the Chargers here? And I would think that's his philosophy. It's an old school philosophy, and he did it quite well when he had his stops in college and also with the 49ers. Are you going to be a run happy instead of a pass happy? I would be surprised if he was not a run type first team, even though you got Justin Herbert. But I got to use him. I got to use him the way Kansas City uses Patrick Mahomes. And that is, you run when we need you to run. Like, if you have something designed, great. But for the most part, Patrick Mahomes runs, but it's not like, hey, you're going to be Lamar Jackson. They use him. There's always that threat. Think of some of the biggest plays in the Super Bowl. The 4th-and-1 was a run. Super Bowl's on the line. And they trust Mahomes to get the yards. He's not the fastest guy. But utilizing that dual threat, that's so important, I think. And you don't have to throw it, you know, 30 times. Remember when Mike McCarthy took over the play calling duties in Dallas? They were going to run the ball more. He said it. Well, Dak had a really good year. But is that as far as you can go with Dak Prescott? We'll hear from Dak Prescott talking about the Cowboys culture when we return after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Travis Kelce on his podcast with his brother, New Heights Podcast, talked about when he was coming out of the University of Cincinnati and he was meeting with the Cowboys at the Combine, and he told this story.
At the Combine, I had some bad interviews. The Cowboys, they were kind of pressing me about having this red flag of missing a year.
Being suspended for a season?
Smoking weed. I don't know if I was having a bad morning. I basically was just, I don't even know if I want to say this.
Time out, what'd you say?
It ended really fast. I basically just said, if you guys think I'm going to be that kind of guy, or you're questioning if I'm still that person after everything that I've battled through to get to where I am now from missing a season, then you guys probably go somewhere else and pick somebody else.
And that they
is
did
exactly what they did.
They took your advice.
I think they took, is it Gavin Escobar? Is that who they took? And Kelce went, what, fourth round to Kansas City? Yeah, Paulie.
And if you think about it, Dallas historically takes chances on players with issues.
Yeah, but maybe they thought, well, it's only marijuana. We take chances on guys maybe with cocaine, things like that. But we're not going to take a chance on this guy with marijuana. But then go back to Warren Sapp and Randy Moss. Like, those guys had red flags as well. Some franchises will roll the dice Dallas maybe didn't feel as well. Maybe they didn't look at Travis Kelce and say that guy could be the greatest tight end of all time, because he went to college, I think, as a quarterback, and then all of a sudden he gets suspended for a year, and then you're going to go, hey, that's the guy. We want to bring him in. Who knows what we're getting with him? Yeah, Paulie.
That was a 2013 NFL draft. Tight ends drafted ahead of Travis Kelce. Tyler Eifert, Notre Dame, round one. Zach Ertz, still in the league. Gavin Escobar, round two by Dallas. Vance McDonald by San Francisco. Travis Kelce in the third round. Then you go down to... That's about it.
Okay. Speaking of the Cowboys, Dak Prescott talked about the Cowboys culture.
The culture is great from my standpoint. Yeah, that's something I've always bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questions of that, concerns on that, I feel attacked. I'm sure some guys in the locker room do. But at the end of the day, it's a business. And the way that this business plays out, people don't get exactly what they wanted. There's always sourness, I guess you can say, somewhere. And so, yeah, I don't want to make anything bigger than what already comments have had.
Okay, he feels attacked about the culture. He should, do a Google search on his teammates or family members of teammates who have attacked him and the culture there. There is an issue here. There has been an issue. And now you're going to pay him $60 million. Or are they going to let him play out this season? Is Jerry Jones going to run that risk and say, all right, let's see. And then what's it going to cost him? If it's 55 or 60 million, what's it going to be the following season? But, we've had CeeDee Lamb's mom who called out Dak Prescott. Micah Parsons talked about the culture here. Dexter Lawrence talked about how tired they were when they got to the postseason. They didn't have legs there. So there's things there with the marquee players. I don't think Dak Prescott can go, nope, nothing going on here. Everything's good here. Well, you're going to make $60 million a year. Yeah, Paul.
How about a TV show? They do those different mom shows, ballerinas and, wives of NFL
Dance
stars.
Dance moms,
yeah. What if you did Cowboys moms? And I'm not really joking. Cowboys get a lot of pub, a lot of energy. You do a rotating show with all the Cowboys players' moms.
How about the real Cowboys moms of Dallas?
That's right.
What do you think?
Fritzy watches those shows. A lot of drama, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Isn't there a new one, The Real Housewives of Dubai?
Really?
I think you're right about that.
I don't know what you're allowed to get away with.
I haven't seen that one, but I think I saw a promo for it.
I don't know what you're allowed to get away with in Dubai. Like, can it be racy? Abu Dhabi?
Huh. None of us have ever been to Dubai, right?
No. But I think there's a Real Housewives of Dubai.
All right.
I don't know. But for some reason, I think I saw the promo there. Yeah, Paul.
You're correct. They're already in discussions for season two of Real Housewives.
Oh, I missed season one.
RHO Dubai, as I call it. Yeah. And season one in the books.
I would think Real Housewives, they've done New York, they've done New Jersey. Why wouldn't you do Greenwich, Connecticut? Doesn't that feel like the Real Housewives of Greenwich, Connecticut is where they should have started to begin with?
Like OG?
Yes.
It feels like that's what actually Real Housewives of New York was, but they're just like,
Yeah, but we're there all the time anyway.
Yeah.
It's basically New York.
Is that the way they sound?
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. What, did the Kardashians start that?
The vocal fry?
The trail off?
No, I don't know if they started it, but you can't listen to a podcast now. Like, that has somehow become the news, young person's news person's voice.
Yeah.
My tennis instructor was busy. It was a disaster.
Donald Trump on election Tuesday.
I didn't notice it.
Oh my God.
And then I noticed it. Now I can't unnotice
it. Can't unhear it.
I know. It's like, oh God.
Mercedes, my brakes.
It
just actually makes it sound more thoughtful when I deliver it like this.
I thought the Kardashians started it.
They might get blamed for it.
But. Yeah. Well, yeah, same thing. Let's see.
Yeah. It'll be fun listening to this podcast.
Chip Kelly, he used to coach UCLA. Now he's the offensive coordinator on Ohio State. Well,
big vocal fry guy, Chip Kelly.
I don't think so.
Zach Charbonnet.
Chip Kelly Chip Kelly talked about why he left UCLA to find happiness at Ohio State.
I think as a head coach, you sit in on position meetings, but then you're always getting pulled out. And there's other things that are involved with being a head coach. And I think it's more of a CEO operation right now. You know, it's the job and the landscape, as we all know, of college football has changed. So I just thought at the time that, you know, there's a story about John Lennon when he was a little kid that had an assignment of what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be happy. And then his teacher said, I don't think you understand the assignment. And his mom said, I don't think you understand life. So I just want to be happy. And I'm really happy coaching a position, really happy to be at this place. You know, it would have taken a special place for me to leave UCLA because I love those players and I love that coaching staff. But to be here with Ryan, I had a great relationship. I've known Ryan since he was a little kid. So I think a lot of things just fell into place that way.
Okay. He found happiness. You know, this might be the transition to being an offensive coordinator to then retiring type of thing, as opposed to being a head coach, everything that goes along with being a head coach. I don't know if he was going to last that much longer at UCLA, but you jump ship. Now you're with Ohio State, and you're the offensive coordinator there. Nick Saban talked about what contributed to his decision to retire. He said the way his players reacted after the Rose Bowl loss, he told ESPN that the way some of the players on his team acted immediately after the loss in the ensuing days contributed to his decision to retire. Now, he says, I want to be clear that that wasn't the reason, but some of those events certainly contributed. I was really disappointed in the way that the players acted after the game. You got to win with class. You got to lose with class. We had our opportunities to win the game, and we didn't do it. And then showing your rear end and being frustrated and throwing helmets and doing that stuff, that's not who we are and what we promoted in our program. He said maybe 70 to 80% of the players that he talks to wanted to know about their playing time for the upcoming season and how much money they would be making in NIL. Any surprised at this? Hey, kids are opportunists just like coaches are. I'm here for 3 years because I have to be here for 3 years. How much money am I going to make and am I going to be able to start? How much playing time? And you got to embrace that. Like, this is what Kentucky has done with John Calipari. He knows you're there for 6 to 8 months, and then you're gone. These old school coaches who go, hey, you got to do it my way, and you shouldn't be asking about playing time or NIL. Hey, that's the landscape, man. You know, all these chancellors, presidents, athletic directors, they've allowed this to happen right under their noses. So Nick Saban can't be surprised at this. That's what kids want. Why wouldn't they want it? Coaches want that. You know, there's no salary cap. Nobody said, hey, Nick, should you be making that kind of money? Or Dabo Sweeney? Like, yeah, you guys are opportunists. So are the players. The NIL, it's here. Is it out of hand? Yes. But who allowed it to get out of hand? Not the players. So Nick Saban shouldn't be surprised. Now, you can say the way my team acted, okay, that's on the coach. You know, your players, they should be disciplined. They should win with class, lose with class. But yes, they're going to ask about playing time. They're going to want to know how much money are you going to pay me? And for all of these so-called, you know, presidents, chancellors, athletic directors, hey, we never tell anybody about NIL. They have to come in and earn that. That is not the case. We know that. All right, stop lying to people. These kids know what they're getting before they get there. Do you think Jaden Daniels knew what he was going to get at LSU before he went to LSU? Do you think he just said, I don't know. I've accomplished everything at Arizona State. Let me go to LSU. Or did he say, you know, I can leverage this. I can play 1 year. Maybe I can go to the SEC because they're paying better than anybody. And maybe they'll give me $5 million. Remember when we had, his coach, Edwards. ESPN analyst. Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards. He talked about that, but he stopped short of saying Jaden Daniels transferred because he was going to get more money. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. Well, yes, that's what happens. These guys, they're just asking. All right? You know, Caleb Williams leaves Oklahoma to go to USC. And what did he get? Reportedly $9 million. Do you think he went, I don't know, I think I'm going to take a chance and transfer, and who knows what I'll get? That's why he transferred. I get it. But that's what's happening now. Nick Saban cannot be surprised that these kids are asking for playing time and NIL. Yeah, Paul.
This is going to come off a little naive, but if you took yourself back 3 or 4 years when this was approved, I bet people like Nick Saban and coaches thought NIL will be the star quarterback is going to get T-shirt money.
Everybody said that.
Right, from an outside vendor after he gets here, becomes a star, and then he could share in T-shirt or jersey money. I think in the way it was intended in NIL, but they looked at NIL and said, we're going to create collectives. They used a loophole of non-specific language by the NCAA, and it made NIL into old school buying players like it was in the 80s. Above board with paperwork. That's all NIL is.
I would love to see coaches go, okay, here's your salary. The NIL is coming out of your salary. You know, spend wisely here. Yeah, Marv.
I did love Paulie's point. They definitely thought it was going to be like a mom and pop, like your local car dealership. Like, look, college football stadiums are bigger than NFL stadiums. Do you think this was going to be a mom and pop operation once the NIL came into play? Do you not think Bojangles was going to get the Clemson all-conference offensive lineman to come in?
To be fair, the NCAA screwed this up by allowing NIL to happen before you enter college. They should have had NIL after your first year of college, in theory. Now, I'm not saying for the good of the player, for the good of the NCAA.
Well, you're forcing them to stay 3 years.
Correct.
And if you do that, I mean, you have to make some concessions here. But you're right about NIL. It's just, and I said this at the time. You know, no other players are going to get paid. It'll be the quarterbacks. And I go, are you crazy? What is college football all about? My offensive line and my defensive line. That's college football. You can have skilled position players. If you don't have offensive, defensive line, that's why Texas A&M spent so much money on defensive linemen. Georgia spent so much money on defensive linemen. Didn't work out for A&M. It helped Georgia win national titles. Getting offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and you got them for 3 years, and you're trying to tell me that you wouldn't spend extra for that? That's where I'd spend my money. I'd be like, I'm loading up. No, not, hey, we're going to give you, you know, $50 a month, and you get free pizza. You're going to be like, all right, we're going to give you $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, whatever it is. But that's how I'd build my team, offensive, defensive line. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls and what we learn, what's in store tomorrow after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the Kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Try to accomplish all of that coming up. Let's see. Any business I need to take care of? The new hats, new hoodies, and a Marvin t-shirt. Looks awesome there. Plus the best-selling flavors of Tailgate Moonshine. Also available, danpatrick.com. HD in California joining us. Hi, HD.
Hey, what's up, DP?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. First time, long time. 215-63. And thank you, brother. I just make this short and sweet. This weekend, I planned a trip to my wife for my wife's surprise birthday party, you know, while we're driving to Palm Springs to go to Vegas. I didn't tell her. She's giving me hell. This is not fun. Where are we going? Blah, blah, blah. We see at the airport a bunch of signs, Alcaraz versus Nadal, over the weekend. They were playing. We get on the plane, Southwest, delayed, 550. People coming in, slowing the plane down. We get our seats, and all of a sudden, while people are getting in the plane, I see Carlos Alcaraz in front of me, just waiting in line to get into the back seat. And I couldn't believe it, man. And I go, he's right there. He's wearing all his whites with his tennis rackets, and he's waiting for people. I know, it was the craziest thing. And he looks at me, I look at him, he's probably 19. Yeah. And I go, you're Carlos Alcaraz, this is Southwest. And my wife looks at me like, oh, what an idiot. He goes in the back with his coach. The flight is delayed because they can't find space to put his tennis rackets. And we're looking in the back, and it's Alcaraz. I mean, it's surreal, man. I get off the plane, my wife's like, you're such an idiot. And then on Saturday, we go to Delilah's, Vegas, classy place. We're all dressed up. Me and my boy, who's like, you know, where you probably have the one guy who you can be yourself with. We go in there. We're all dressed up. We see this guy who's 6'11", just awkward looking. And my boy's like, Dirk, Dirk. And people are like, it's Dirk Nowitzki. And the servers are like, sir, you need to put your phone down. This is not that kind of place. And our wives are just so embarrassed. I thought that was just amazing. Dirk Nowitzki was there. And you don't realize how awkward they look in regular clothes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on the basketball floor when everybody else is tall. It's like, all right, he blends in. All of a sudden, you see a 7-footer and everybody else is, you know, 5'9". Alcaraz, one of the great young tennis players. Flying Southwest, by the way. Adam in Indiana. Hi, Adam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Longtime listener, longtime call, or longtime fan. 511-203. I was just curious what your thoughts were on the Dallas Cowboys drafting Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. I'm a fan of both. Longtime Cowboy fan, longtime Cowboy suffer.
Well, once again, you're drafting a big power back there. He was a really good player. I don't know. I mean, do you want that or do you want Saquon Barkley? No. For some reason, I've thought of that Barkley was going to end up with the Cowboys. I have no inside knowledge. It just feels like it's a shiny new toy for Jerry Jones. And he just saved a couple million dollars on Micah Parsons' deal. Still got to pay Dak, though, if he pays Dak this year. Yes, Mark?
I think Pacheco has definitely hurt the market because, you know, the NFL is a copycat league, and they're going to say, do we really want to pay $10 million for a running back who might be past his prime, or can we get somebody in the sixth or seventh round to help us win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, okay, you got to have a great scouting department, first of all. Because everybody could have seen Isaiah Pacheco. They did see Isaiah Pacheco. Nobody took him. And that's where you get somebody who'll come back, revisionist history. Well, you know, we liked him, but, you know, we had a fifth-round grade on him. That's what happens here. How did you miss on that guy? Well, you know, Yeah, we liked him. How many guys, how many GMs said with Russell Wilson, well, we had a first-round grade on him, or we were going to take him a lot higher? Well, nobody did. Seattle did. Nick in Maine. Hi, Nick. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how's it going, Dan? 5'7", 145. I got to preface this by saying I'm a huge Celtics and Jason Tatum fan, but his game-ending shots have been nothing short of abysmal. Something's got to change. Dude's crushing it otherwise. But at the end of the game, I want the ball in any other player's hands. He's their best player, and he's one of the best players in the league. But something's got to give, man. Last shot strategy's got to change.
Yeah, but nothing's going to change, Nick. He's got a long-term contract. He's young. That's your team. And they blew a big lead to the Cavaliers. When Dean Wade single-handedly outscores your team, I mean, that's what happened last night. Single-handedly outscored him in the fourth quarter. Boston could be the best team in the East, but, you know, it's that learning how to win type thing. They might just be a great regular season team. We've seen a lot of teams in a lot of sports. They're just great regular season. It's a good team. They've blown out three teams this year by at least 50. That's never happened before. So the highest of highs is really impressive. But, man, then they can give you the low. And all it takes is that best of seven, and somebody sneaks in a couple of wins, and now all of a sudden you're in trouble. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, they might end up being like the Sacramento Kings of the early 2000s, ooh, where it's like, man, really fun team, but can never get over the hump against, you know, big-time opponents.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
Just a couple. 1982 NBA history, most points in the game. San Antonio versus Milwaukee, 171-166 in triple overtime. That was surpassed a year later in 1983 by Pistons Nuggets. And then, oh, one of my favorites, 1983, the USFL began its first season of pro football.
Yeah, I covered that.
Great.
It was fun. Not a lot of people there at the games. Shaq celebrated his 28th birthday on this day. He scored 61. Also had 23 rebounds. It's the first 60-20 game since Wilt Chamberlain in 1969. Also, the man who invented the trampoline receives the patent for the trampoline, 1945.
Jeremiah Trampoline?
No. Jimmy Tramp. No, it was George Nissen of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hey, you tramp.
Neck injury George. We love him.
Old neck injury George.
What did you learn today, toddler?
NFL free agent running backs are like the people huddled around the airport waiting for their loved ones to leave the cell phone waiting lot to come pick them up.
Most home break-ins happen in broad daylight as days get longer. In the spring, protect your home with SimpliSafe. Award-winning home security. I use it. We use it. I recommend you use it. Get 20% off any new system at SimpliSafeDan.com. There is no safe like SimpliSafe. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support. We'll try to do better tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.